many valuable lessons this morning.
Thanks.
I want to talk about wisdom.
Oh, hi Denise, this is an interview for the website. Mm-hmm. I'll just transcribe this later and show you. So, what about treatment breaks these days? Are they ever okay?
Probably not. So no, I would not recommend treatment breaks. But, of course, life happens and sometimes people feel they need to take a treatment break. So if the circumstances change in their life and they feel they need a break, my advice would be to discuss it with their prescribing doctor and make sure that they have regular follow-up if they are having a treatment break to see if there's any changes in their health. So, of course, we have to be realistic that people will take them. And so it's just important that they're monitored and reviewed. And not to be afraid to talk to their doctor about that, because a lot of people don't want to be seen to be doing the wrong thing by their doctor. But really, it's about them taking over their power of their own life. And they can be proactive, and they are allowed to do these things. And so it's better to be more proactive and just say to the doctors, this is what I plan to do, and get their support through that process.
Better to talk about it rather than just not talk about it and do something crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, what about if I forget to take meds? Should I just wait until the next dose?
It really depends.
You remember.
Yeah, it depends what type of med you're on, whether you're on a daily dose, a BD dose.
What's BD?
Twice a day, sorry. Okay. So it depends on the dosing, depends on the drug, and because the drugs are chemically made, so different absorption rates and things like that in the body, so it's all very dependent. If you were on a daily drug that you took at 8 a.m. every day, and for some reason you got caught up doing other stuff, and at 10 o'clock you thought, oh my God, I forgot my pill, well, you still are okay to take it. You've got about a 3-hour time frame in which you can take it if you're on a daily dose. If you remembered at 5 o'clock that afternoon and it was supposed to be taken that morning, then just wait till the next day. But don't do that too often. It's like a one-off kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you were doing that 2 or 3 times a week, that's a problem, and you need to think about why you're missing the drug so regularly. It's a very occasional thing that you would do that. If you're on a twice-a-day dose, you've got about 2 hours. So if you took them at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., if it was, between 6 and 10, it would be okay. But once again, if it's much later than that, so say you took them at 6 p.m., and you went out for the night and you got home at 1 a.m., well, you'd be taking the next one at 8 a.m., so we wouldn't recommend that you take a dose then.
Mm.
But, as I've said, you have to be really careful and monitor why you are missing them.
Yeah.
And if there's a reason that you could look at to change in your behaviour, whether it's you're just forgetting because you're busy or you're doing something regularly in your life on that day. So it's about adjusting what you're doing.
Or maybe that drug isn't fitting in with your lifestyle.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you should go and see a doctor and discuss that with them, because they might be able to change the type of drug that you're on.
Yeah.
And so that would fit into your lifestyle much better.
I think some people find it hard with the morning and night.
Yeah.
And they've said to them, why don't you just take one a day, then you just go for that one.
Yeah, or sometimes it's about the timing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people think they've got to take it in the morning, and they might be able to take it in the evening, which would fit into their lifestyle much better, particularly if they sleep in or they're really busy in the morning with children or whatever, and they get distracted and caught up. So it's about fitting into your lifestyle, and you can make adjustments, but you just need to check with either your nurse or your doctor, and they'll advise you on that, depending on what tablet you're taking.
All right, what about swallowing pills? I've heard this a few times. I can't actually swallow them.
Yeah, people have difficulties with swallowing tablets for different reasons.
Yeah.
So if it was a new thing, and you'd noticed that lately you've just had problems swallowing, there might be something going on that you need to get investigated. You might have some thrush in your throat, or some kind of obstruction, or a growth. It could be anything. So if it was a new thing, I would go and see my GP and just get them to check it out. Let's just check that there's nothing going on there. If it was just the fact that people sometimes have trouble with swallowing because the tablets are big or they're capsules and they get stuck in their throat, then Some of the tablets you can break in half and make them smaller. So once again, check with your pharmacist or nurse or doctor, and they can look at what tablets you're on. So some of them you can cut in half. Some people do funny things, like they might wrap the tablet in something to make it easier to swallow. So put it in a piece of bread and butter, just a tiny bit, and then they swallow it whole like that. So it's just about being really creative in how you can take the tablets. And so ask your peers or your friends, family, because it's not an unknown thing. It's not just HIV drugs that people struggle with.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have lots of interesting ideas. Look online, see what other people are doing. Sometimes it's about putting... Some people like to put their head right back so their neck is high up, so their jaw is facing the ceiling, and they take a pill and they kind of have a big drink to swallow it, and they feel that it goes down easier. So it's about looking at different ways to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about eating in pills? They say you have to eat with a pill, like an IV pill, or you've got to have a meal.
Mm.
What happens if you just don't have an appetite or you feel a bit sick?
Yeah.
How do you get that? You know, should you just leave the pills, or do you take them on empty stomach?
No, never leave the pills.
Never leave them.
Don't ever miss your pills. But a lot of recommendations is, you have things with food, because sometimes pills, any pill, like antibiotics and things, might cause a bit of nausea, and we're used to thinking, you better have the pill with food.
Mm-hmm.
Not all pills need to be taken with food, so check out what you're on and whether that truly is the case. If it is with food, then often people think, I've got to have a big meal like meat and three veggies. You don't. It's just about changing the acidity in your stomach.
Okay.
So sometimes all you need is like a cracker with a little slice of cheese on it, and that will be adequate. Or half a tub of yogurt. It's just about a little bit of food. So once again, have a look at what your pills you're taking, and you can get advice from lots of people. You can get it from your doctor, your nurse, the pharmacist, the dietitian, and, you know, so there's a lot of people around to support you in making those decisions. And yes, with some of them, with Epivir, they say, you've got to have a high nutritional meal. But remember, you don't have to have a huge meal to have a high nutrition thing. You can have a shake.
Yeah.
So it's about looking at the kind of calories, or, you know, if you need to have a bit extra fat. There's different ways of doing that. So meeting with a dietitian is a really great idea, because they'll give you sneaky little advice of how you can put those things into your diet, so you're not looking at a huge meal that you may not feel like.
Good point. Okay, great. What about if you can't understand the things a doctor says? I'm too shy to ask.
Yeah, that's a big problem. That's a big problem. Yeah, and sometimes I feel like that when I go to the doctor, you know, you're just like, what are they going on about now?
Yeah.
And it's really hard sometimes. And if the doctors are busy, you don't want to interrupt them. And sometimes you just don't want to look like a bit of a goose. You just think, I should know that, or I don't want them to think I don't know what's going on. So there's lots of reasons why people don't feel like they can talk to their doctor. But at the end of the day, your doctor's just a person like you, and they go home and they have their troubles and their tribulations, and, you know, they're quite used to people questioning things. And so just question them.
Mm.
This is your life, and you need to just say, hang on, what's going on there? And if you take up another 5 minutes of their time, too bad, so what? You deserve to have that time. But if it is about you not actually understanding what they're talking about, there's things you can do. You can take some notes and just write down some keywords, and you can talk to someone else afterwards. Or if they bring up stuff and you're not sure, you can, next time you go back, you can say, can you just clarify what you meant by that? I wasn't very clear on that. You can speak to the nurses. Most of the GP surgeries now have a practice nurse, or if you go to a clinic at the hospital, there's a nurse, and they're very good at putting information in easy to understand language. So you can get your nurse to ask. Also, there's other people like the social workers, the dietitians, the physios. They're all used to using that language, medical language, but they're also used to describing things in an easier way to understand. So there's lots of ways around that. And bring a friend with you, or bring your mum, or, you know, bring someone with you. When I've got a friend, and whenever she goes to her specialist, she takes me along, and half the time I'm not doing anything, but I'm just sitting there as a support. And before we go in there, she says, oh, I say, okay, what do you want to talk about? And we write down some key points to make sure we get those questions answered. And we just keep saying, can you please explain that again? We didn't get it. And my job as the friend going along is to help her remember to do that, or if she's feeling a bit shy, to just do that. But the most important thing is for you to really understand what's going on and really understand the information. And there's lots of ways around that. But I reckon talking to the nurse at the practice is a really good way to help you with that information.
Brilliant. Thank you. All right. This is a big one, but when to go on treatment?
Yeah.
High T cell count, low viral load.
Yeah. At the moment, you'd be aware, and everybody would be aware, that we're trying to get people onto medications earlier. And there's a lot of debate going on at the moment, and it's very confusing for a person of when to start. And I would say to every individual, it's when it's right for them. So there is pressure sometimes from not just the doctors, but from your family, from your friends, because people want you to stay well. And it's all about whether you can do it. And, you know, it's not to be taken lightly. It is important to go on the medications, but it's important to maintain them, because if you do maintain them, you know, you can live a long and happy life. So it is a big consideration. So it is important to really be committed to when you start. And, you know, I've had a lot of people I've seen that have had this dilemma, and they've said to me, oh, I don't know when to start, and we've just taken a few months and talked them through it. If your counts are good, you've got time to wait. It's not urgent. It's only when your T cell counts are really low that you could get other issues or problems that we think, well, we better start you right now. But if your counts are well, then you've got a breathing space. And it would be much better for you to wait and be considered and be ready, then you jump into it and then stop, because we don't want you to feel like you're a failure. And some people feel like they're a failure if they stop, or they're not doing the right thing by people around them. And we don't want that. But it is better for you to start earlier. We're seeing in all the literature now that, you know, it is helping your immune system to be maintained, which is better for your long-term well-being and health. So it is an individual process. But, you know, it needs to be a considered one.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Fabulous. What about the one pill a day regimen? Are you hearing from people that they're good, or?
Yeah, look, the one pill a day regimens are great, because for lots of reasons.
Yeah.
It's one pill a day.
Yeah.
So it's much easier. Don't forget about taking that dose at a different time. You can put it into your daily lifestyle much easier than having two or three doses a day. And it's easy not to, you don't forget them as much. That's a good thing. The other good thing is it's a one dispensing fee, so financially it's really good. So you're not paying lots of money for drugs, whether you're on a pension or not. It's still money that, you know, you can spend on other things. And they're very good combinations. So they're combinations of drugs, and they're very well tolerated. So, you know, it's easier to take a once a pill regimen a day, and but they're really good.
Great.
Yeah.
And how do I know if I should switch to one?
Well, how you would know is you go and talk to your doctor. So you need to go and have a good discussion with your doctor, take a few questions that are, you know, bothering you about it, and they would look at your blood test results. They'd look at your genotyping to make sure that you could have those drugs, because some people think, oh, great, I can get one pill a day now. But when they go in to see if they've had previous resistance, then sometimes they can't take those drugs, because some of the drugs in that combination may not work for them. So we need to check that out to make sure that they're getting the best treatment that's available for them. So I would just go and get it checked out with your doctor, and they'll give you the best advice.
And it's more of a dietitian question, but what about nausea? Do you get any people, what do you recommend for people
with nausea?
Yeah.
First of all, I would recommend we find out what's causing the nausea, to see if there's an actual problem with the nausea. So they might have some epigastric pain or indigestion that's from an ulcer or something like that, which then can create a bit of extra nausea. So I would recommend that we first find out if there's something going on. And then if there isn't anything like that, there are different things that we can do for nausea. Of course, there's always a pill. So you can take what's known as an antiemetic, like Maxilon or Stematol. And some people take them before they take their other pills or half an hour before they have a meal to help settle their stomach. Other things that people can do is they can drink peppermint tea, ginger tea, things like that. Some people eat little bits of those ginger sweets that you can buy. Some people have a little bit, if they've got morning nausea, some people I've known have those lollies on their bedside and eat a piece of ginger lolly and lie there for a bit of time, about 10, 15 minutes before they get up. Sometimes the nausea is called what's known as anticipatory nausea. So it's where people are stressed about something or worried about something, and that makes them nauseous. So we need to explore if it's that kind of thing, because if it is something like that, perhaps seeing a counsellor to go through what are the issues for you and what's worrying you, we might be able to reduce that, and that will reduce the nausea. So it just depends. Like I had a gentleman I saw, and just putting their pills in his hands would make him get really bad nausea. So we worked on that. It was about the psychological thought of taking the pills. And so with some counselling with a psychologist, he was able to work through that and then take the pills. So there's lots of different things you can do. It's just working out what's right for you. And sometimes it's a bit of trial and error. And you're getting nutritional advice. You might be eating the wrong things for your stomach. So seeing a dietitian is a really great idea, because they'll look at what you're eating. You might need to reduce some of the fats in your diet or some of the foods that cause epigastric sort of gastric pain or reflux. So it's looking at those kind of things as well.
Fat, many reasons. All right, what about side effects? People who are scared of treatments because of side effects.
Sure. And if people remember years ago when they think about HIV years ago and the drugs, there were lots of side effects. So people sort of have that memory, or they've heard from friends, oh, I had a terrible side effect and oh, I'm worried about that. You know, every drug has a side effect, whether it's an antibiotic or even if you take too many vitamins, you know, you can break out in a rash and stuff. You just never know. So yes, there are side effects to these pills. That's the reality. But a lot of the side effects are minimal. You know, you might have a bit of nausea, and what I mean by minimal is that it might last when you first start the pill for a couple of weeks, and then your body gets used to that medication and it reduces. But there are other side effects, and what we do is we monitor people to see if they come up. So like the cardiovascular side effects where their lipids or their cholesterol will go up, and then we monitor that, and then we'll treat that with either diet or exercise or maybe other medications to reduce their cholesterol to put them at less risk. So that is true, but a lot of the drugs we have now are really well tolerated and really good combinations, and the side effect profile is much less than it used to be. And plus, if you're only taking one drug a day, you're going to be at less risk of side effects than if you were taking four or five a day. So side effects are still an issue, but they're much better tolerated, and now we have so much more information about them, we can look out for them before they start up, and or just as they're starting, and try and deal with them then.
Fab. Thank you. And any tips for remembering to take them in?
Look, the Dosette box, everybody swears by using a Dosette box or a Webster pack, and they are good because, you know what, even when I take my 10 days of antibiotics, I always forget some. I think, hang on, did I take them today? Or was that yesterday? Because, you know, you get busy and you get distracted, and it's very easy to forget if you've done something. So using a Dosette box helps, because it's got the, or a Webster pack, it's got the day and the on it, and you know, oh yeah, today's Monday, you look down, oh, sweet, I've taken them. Or you haven't, and you think, oh, I thought I took them, but I didn't. So that's a good memory. Mm. Some people don't need to use them. Some people have got fantastic memories. I'm not like that. I'm always losing the keys and things. So for me, I would use the Dosette box now to help me. The other things are is just to make it part of your routine. So if you do something every day, then try and attach your medications to that event. You know, like, when you brush your teeth, you have them there, you just take it. You brush your teeth, you've taken your pill, that's it. So it's that kind of thing. And just making sure you know what you're doing with your pills. So, for example, I recently had someone that I went to see, and they had all their pills, but but they thought they could take them all at once, and one of them they had to take in the evening. It wasn't an antiretroviral, it was a different type of drug, but they were taking them at the wrong time and they didn't realise. So, you know, we got a dosette box that had the two slots in it to just help them get used to it. So always be aware, because, you know, people give you the prescription, you're busy at the pharmacist, you grab your drugs, when you run off, and then you just forget and you think, oh yeah, was I supposed to take that with that or that? I can't remember. So just double check, and if you don't remember, no one's going to be angry with you by double checking. So double check with your doctor or the nurse at the clinic or the pharmacist, and they'll give you the right advice. So sometimes it's around that kind of issue as well. But adherence, you know, I spend a lot of time helping people with adherence. And we put up notes on the fridge. We put reminders in their phones, you know, that a little bing will go off to say, take your pill today. You know, there's lots of different things you can do. And now that people have great mobile phones, most people I know have a mobile phone now, you can put reminders in there or an alarm in there. So there are different things you can do. You've just got to work out which approach suits you.
Good tips. Yep. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.